And good to see everybody. Dave's in here, and my son Noah, he's in the studio this morning. And how are y'all today?
Excellent. Noah, how are you, sir?
He's doing fine, he says.
He's doing fine.
That's good.
He has been chauffeuring me around this morning.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's the way it is when you get your license, get to haul your dad around.
But it's fun.
Yeah, it's good. It lets me get some thoughts together and do some studying and things.
Fix your hair, I understand.
Yeah, I had problems with that. Yeah. Well, it's like I said, good to be here this morning and good to see Dave and good to have Noah with me. And I'm going to just get right into it today. I want to mention that I've had several people, Dave. In fact, we put it on Facebook, and we've got listeners now all the way from the coast of North Carolina to Arizona and Idaho and places like that. And so we are spreading out just a little bit, you might say, but we do have a website. It's www.MountLebanonBC.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org. And we'd like to invite you to go there and check it out. And we have the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast on there. And we also have messages from our church, Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. And a few weeks ago, I encourage listeners to go there and listen to the message, Prayer for Traitors. And I've had a lot of good feedback from that. And I appreciate that, appreciate the comments. And more than anything, we need to put it into practice and we need to pray. And also, I want to encourage you to go there and listen. Last Sunday night, we had our fifth Sunday night fellowship meeting, and Brother Tommy Worth came and he preached for us, and he preached a wonderful message on the subject, Facing My Giants, out of 1 Samuel chapter number 17, and it was great. And I would encourage you to go there. If you have some giants in your life that you're facing, that you go there and listen to that message, I believe you'll get a blessing out of it. But today I'm going to do something just a little bit different. I'm not going to go to the book of Proverbs, which I normally do. Today's the 31st. It is the end of the month. And normally we go to the book of Proverbs, but today I'm just going to jump right into it, and I'm going to pick up where I left off last week. Last week I talked about taxes, and I'm going to go to Genesis chapter number 49, and I'm going to share with you some more truths about what the Bible says about taxes. Last week we looked at taxes. We talked about what the Bible says about taxes. I did that because our county is right now, in fact, today is the last day. Today's voting day on the referendum to raise our sales tax to pay what the Winston-Salem Journal had an article yesterday, talked about how much money this would raise, and it was specifically mentioned that it would be used to pay debt service on rec centers in Watauga County. Now, I'm not against having rec centers and things like that, but I am against taking on debt at a time like this, and especially just to pay debt service on something, not that it would pay for it, not that it would be paid off and paid in full or anything like that, but just to pay the debt service on these projects. And so I say today, go out and vote. Today's the last day, August 31st. If you don't vote, you can't say anything about it later on. Go vote and let your voice be made known. And I guess we'll know tonight about 7 o'clock. But last week, I talked about the first time that taxes are mentioned in the Bible, 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse number 35. I'm not going to go there and read that today, but you'll find out if you go and read that. That's the first time taxes mentioned in the Bible. And it talks about how that King Jehoiakim, he taxed the land and the people of the land. He got the silver and the gold. And the reason that he did that was to pay the money to Pharaoh. And I talked about last week how that was a type of slavery. And taxes are literally a type. They're not a type. They are slavery. And that is what we are faced with in this country today. Today, I want to take another word in the Bible that is a tax, and that is the word tribute. The first time you find the word tribute in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter number 49, and I'm going to read that in just a moment, but the Hebrew word literally means this, the word tribute. It literally means, if you go to a Strong's Concordance, in the Hebrew language, and you look up the word tribute there, you will find that it means properly a burden, as causing to faint. And those of you that you are struggling and working and trying and everything is going up and the dollar's not going as far as it used to, but here comes the tax man and the tax bills and you're working and trying and struggling to pay, you know what that means, to have a burden as causing to faint. And then it also means that that is a tax in the form of forced labor. First time it's mentioned is in Genesis chapter number 49. And what's happening in Genesis chapter number 49 is a time where Jacob is about to die. He's about to pass on the scene, off the scene. And what they would do in those days, the patriarch, the father, the grandfather, he would gather his family around and he would talk to each son and he would confer upon them a blessing. And that's what's happening in Genesis chapter number 49. Jacob is literally going down the list of his sons and he is talking to them. He's giving them some last words of wisdom or a blessing, or what we also see here, a prophetic utterance concerning each and every one of them. And I'm going to talk to you today about two of his sons, Issachar and Dan. They are the number 6 and number 7 sons of Jacob. And we're going to look in the Word of God and see what the Bible says about Issachar and Dan. And I believe you'll get a blessing or some help out of this. Genesis chapter 49 and verse number 14. The Bible says Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good and the land that it was pleasant, and he bowed his shoulder to bear and became a servant unto tribute. Now, there's several things here we learn about Issachar and his life and his nature and his character. Issachar, the Bible says, is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. And what that means there, Issachar is like a whole lot of us. He's like a whole lot of Americans today. He is a hard worker. The Bible describes him there. Jacob, his father, said about him, he's like a strong ass. He's like a strong mule out here. You know, he's not afraid to get his hands dirty. He's not afraid to get behind the plow. He's not afraid to work hard, roll up his sleeves, sweat, try, give it 100%. The Bible talks there that he's like a mule or a strong ass. That's what that's talking about there. Crouching down between burdens. I mean, he'll get behind the plow and he'll work. That's the type of person he is. He is a visionary. He's an entrepreneur. He has dreams about the land. He wants to get in there and work and make a go of it and have something to show for it. It says in verse number 15, and he saw that rest was good and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear. That says that when he seen the land, man, he had a desire to work for it and make something out of it and get behind the plow and pull and bear the burden and all of these things. But there's something telling about Issachar here. And it says that after all of his work and all of his dreams and all of the labor which he had bestowed upon the land, the Bible says that he became a servant unto tribute, unto taxes is what the Bible says. That's that tax or that tribute, which means literally a burden as causing to faint. That is a tax in the form of forced labor. That's what that word literally means there. Now, Issachar, he's a hard worker. He's a visionary. He's a dreamer. He's not afraid to sweat and roll up his sleeves, but he is just a little bit naive. And somehow, some way, and the Bible does not say, but someone gained control over him and decided that they knew better how to spend Issachar's wages than he did. And in spite of all of his work and all of his labor and all of his sweat and all of his progress, the Bible says that he would become a servant unto tribute. The word servant there, it means to work, by implication to serve until enslaved. And so when it says that he became a servant unto tribute, he literally became a slave, a forced laborer, in order to pay his taxes on the land which he had inherited from his father Jacob, and when they went in to conquer the land and all of those things. But you know, When I think about Issachar, I think about how our forefathers came to this country many, many years ago. They worked. They cleared the wilderness at that time. They pioneered. They fought. They farmed. They cultivated. They sweated. They died upon this land and everything else involved with the settling of this great nation. I'm talking about the time before the Revolutionary War when the Pilgrims came and those came after and they settled colonies and it was under the umbrella of the British Empire and all of those things. But the tyrant, King George, instead of working with the people, he did this very thing. They became a servant unto tribute. He laid taxes heavily upon them, and he persecuted the people through taxation. They labored under that. They tried under that. Now, some of the people, if we were to study history this morning, some of the people during the time previous to the Revolutionary War, they were content with that arrangement. They were happy for it to be that way. Oh, they're just like a whole lot of us. You know, they didn't like paying all these taxes, but that's just the way it is. And, you know, we need the umbrella of King George, and we need his protection, and we need the relations that Britain has with the other countries, and blah, blah, blah. And so they were content to take chains and fasten them upon their own necks, as Thomas Jefferson said would happen unto them. And just like Issachar, just like a stupid animal, we use the phrase, and you find the phrase in the Bible, a dumb ass speaking, just like a dumb animal. They just worked right on, slaved right on, labored right on, and they would just work and sweat and slave and pay and pay and pay. And there's no difference today. There's many throughout the land. There's a lot of people that will go today and they'll vote yes for this increase of sales tax. And they'll say, boy, Obama and all his fellas, they're doing a great job as our taxes go up, as our economy goes down, as our society falls apart all round about us. They're just like Issachar. And they don't think we're taxed enough already. And, you know, last week I gave a long list of taxes that all of us as Americans pay, or probably all of us, accounts receivable tax, building permit tax, CDL license tax, cigarette, corporate, dog license, federal income, federal unemployment, fishing license, food license, fuel permit, gasoline tax, hunting license tax, inheritance tax, interest, inventory, IRS interest charges, which is tax on tax, IRS penalties, liquor tax, luxury tax, marriage license tax, Medicare tax, property tax, real estate tax. And I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And somebody asked me, they said, is this tax that they're voting on, is it going to be a temporary tax? Is it supposed to be a temporary tax? And I told that individual, I said, you know, there's some things I quit believing in a long time ago. I don't believe in Santa Claus, and I don't believe in the Tooth Fairy, and I don't believe there's any such thing as a temporary tax, because they just come right back. They might let one expire and another comes in this place, but you know as well as I do, it just keeps going on and on and up and up and up. But I want to go on this morning. For those of you, you might be like Issachar. You might say, you know, that's just the way it is, and we'll just work and pay our taxes and go right along and do the best we can and all like that. But for those of you this morning who think enough is enough, and you're tired of Washington and Raleigh and the county spending your hard-earned money for you and coming up with all these ideas of how we can pay more and more taxes, I've got something encouraging from you this morning from God's Word. And I want to tell you about Issachar's brother, whose name was Dan. Now, Dan is a world away difference from his brother Issachar. Dan is not like his brother in several ways, and we're going to read on down about Issachar's brother named Dan. Now, Dan, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 16, it says, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. The word Dan, the name Dan, it literally means to be a judge, and that's what Dan was. He was a judge. The Bible says he shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. So Dan was a little bit different. Dan thought about things. It says his name means judge, but it says Dan shall judge his people. That word judge there, it means this. It means to rule by implication, to judge as an umpire. Dan would look at things and he would say, this is right or this is wrong. It also means to strive as at the law. Now, when I think about Dan, I'm reminded of our forefathers who stood up to King George and tried every way under the sun lawfully to obtain relief from his tyrannical ways. They petitioned him. They objected to his ways. They sent ambassadors back and forth to England to stand before the assembly over there. They took votes. They wrote letters. They appealed to the courts and the laws of the land. And this literally went on for years and years and years, until they just could not take it any longer, and they seen there was going to be no other recourse except to separate themselves from England. If you are not familiar with it, you need to read the Declaration of Independence. That's what that's all about. They had put up with it over and over and years and years, and finally they said, enough is enough. And it says in part in the Declaration of Independence, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. They said, here's what we're doing and here's why. They said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. And it goes on down. It says, when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object invinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government. And so they wrote the Declaration of the Independence, and they gave a long list of why they were doing what they were doing. And when I think about Dan, I think of the hundreds of thousands, I believe it would be correct to say even millions of Americans today who have said for several years now, let's just get back to the Constitution. Government has got out of the banks of the river which it was originally intended to perform. It is too big, it is too large, it is too invasive. Let's get back to the Constitution. Let's get back to the law of the land. And so Dan, he appealed to the law. But let me show you something else about Dan, and I really got a blessing out of this. It said, Dan, in verse number 17, Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path. That's a snake, by the way, that biteth the horse heels so that his rider shall fall backward. Have you ever seen, listening in today, you ever seen those don't tread on me flags? And you've got the snake curled up and the rattler showing and the teeth bared, and it says underneath it, it says, don't tread on me. And so Dan had bark. He appealed to the law, but we find in verse number 17 that Dan had bite as well. It said, Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heel so that his rider shall fall backward. And those don't tread on me flags that you see flying all across the land and at the Tea Party get togethers and from people's houses and businesses and on the back of cars, that comes from the Revolutionary War. And it came about during that time period. And the teaching behind that is, if we all stay together, we'll be effective. And it was talking about the rattlers. There's 13 rattlers on that snake. And it was talking about the colonies, the different colonies coming together and being unified. And it was talking about, and there was a commentary written, and many people believe it was by Benjamin Franklin, and he made the application there that the rattlers were like the 13 colonies, and just like the timber rattlesnake, if you don't mess with it, it won't mess with you, but if you step on it, it'll bite you. And that's what they were saying, the message from the colonies. Don't mess with us. We're not going to bother you. We don't want any trouble. But if you step on us, we will bite you, and you'll be sorry that you stepped on us. That's where that don't tread on me comes from. Goes all the way back to the Revolutionary War and the application of the snake and all of those things. And so the Bible says here that that's how Dan was. Dan was like a serpent. Leave him alone, and he won't mess with you. But you provoke him, and he will come along, and he will bite you. And it said there that he biteth the horse heels so that his rider shall fall backward. And I was doing some studying about that. Horses in the Bible are a type of government. All throughout the Bible, they represent government. They represent kings. The next time, now this is the first time the word horse is mentioned in the Bible. And it says here that Dan would bite the horse heels so that his rider shall fall backward. The very next time the word horse is mentioned in the Bible is Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 1, where the Bible is talking about the children of Israel will sing a song. And this song is about Pharaoh and him being defeated when the children of Israel came up out of Egypt, where, by the way, they were in slavery and bondage and servitude unto Pharaoh. And they were singing a song of victory because the Bible says there that they would sing the song, "The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." And you remember when Pharaoh went through the parted sea there and God let the waters come back upon them. And then that actually happened in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 19. It said, "For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots." And that was talking about being thrown into the sea, being overthrown, being defeated. Now, Dan, something about him, when provoked, was not afraid to fight for what was right. He was standing upon the precept of the law, and that's what he tried first. But then in verse number 17, when the law didn't, when others would not adhere to the law, he had some bite along with him. Now, I want to make very plain this morning that I am not calling for violence in any way. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'll tell you, the media, the mainstream media, the lamestream media, that's how they take anybody or anything that says, you know, let's get back to the Constitution. Let's stand up for what was right. You know, they say you're a racist. Sarah Palin, Glenn Beck, all these people, oh, they're just racist and bigots and all like that. You've not seen any violence out of the Tea Parties. I'm not a violent person. That's not what I'm calling for when I talk about these things. But I want to say this very plain and very clear today. As a student of history and as a student of the Bible, I would say that you are foolish if you do not prepare for the possibility of violence in our land. Surely, if you have any common sense today, you can see that protests and rallies and letters and town hall meetings and elections are not changing very much at all. Our country is literally being destroyed from within. The powers that be are tyrants, and they really don't care what the peons have to say about anything. Have you seen the different town hall meetings that's been held across this country for 2 years now? And somebody will come out and say, that's unconstitutional, and the attitude in Washington is, so what? Who cares? It's outdated. Get over it. Go on with it. We're going to tax you. We're going to do what we want to do. And it doesn't matter what the people want. The White House, the State House in North Carolina, the courthouse in Watauga County, right on down the line, tyrants, tyranny, bullying, uncaring what the people think or say or do. And they will not stop until what's yours is theirs. And I am honest this morning when I say I am one person who's sick of it. And I wish other people would come along and let their voice be known. Somebody came along and said last week, said, I heard you gave the building inspectors a hard time. And it was somebody who's a builder. And I said, yes, I did. That's what's right. Building inspectors in this county and engineers and all of these dumb laws that they have are costing people who are just trying to have a home, just trying to build a place, costing them thousands and thousands of dollars for what amounts to nothing more than paperwork. And I said, you contractors, if you, during this time of not having any work to do, you ought to be up there every morning giving them an earful and telling them about what's not right. I mean, it's just got out of hand, county, state, federal, right on up the line. And I, for one, by God's grace, intend to be a thorn in their flesh till Jesus comes or till I go to be with him, whichever comes first. And I'm ready for either one, just to be honest. Now, there's Dan's bark. It said Dan shall judge his people. There's Dan's bite. It said Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels. I think we as Americans, where's our backbone gone in this country? Where's somebody that'll stand up and say it's wrong, sick of it, not putting up with it anymore? That's the attitude we ought to have if we're going to get anything done in this country. I'm sick of it. And that's how Dan was. He said, don't mess with me. I'll bite you. And the horse, which is a type of the government, the rider will fall backward, the Bible says. But there's one last thing I want to share with you before I go today. And that is in verse number 18. Here's what Dan says. I like this. He says, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. There is the bark of Dan. There is the bite of Dan. But also there is the backing of Dan. Dan was not the person that he was in and of by himself. He said, he realized being in the right and standing up for what was right, that God was on his side and would save him. He said, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. He had some backing. He had some divine backing there. And I would say today, you know what? I'm just a little nobody. I have no desire to run for any office, and I don't like politics either. I'm just like most people out here. It's sickening. It turns my stomach. I'm tired of it. I'm a little nobody, but I serve a great big somebody, and what is right is right. And what is going on in our country today is wrong. And it's destroying us, and it's being done to us by the powers that be from the top right on down. But you know what? There's a great big God, and I see my time is just about gone today. There's a great big God, and I don't have time to get into it today. No matter what happens in the nation of America, the Lord one day is going to come, and he's going to set the governments of this world right. And they're all going to bow down at his feet and worship him and call him Lord. He is going to come. We were studying this in church just a while back in the book of Revelation. I really look forward to that day. But what do we do till then? Do we just lay down like Issachar and work under our burdens and become slaves unto tribute, or as the Bible says, become a servant unto tribute? If you want to be like Issachar and be that way, you just go right ahead. You'll be under tribute and you'll work for nothing, and you'll become a slave, more and more of a slave for nothing. Or you can be like Dan, and you can have some backbone, and you can have some bite, and you can have some bark. And thank God, according to his word, you can have some backing as well. And like I said, I'm a little nobody, but I serve a great big somebody. And I want to say I appreciate everybody that listens in, and those who come by the store and say they appreciate it. And I get emails and calls and all of these things. And I desire your prayers, and we need to pray for each other. And I appreciate it. I love my county and my country, and I love my children, and I love my church, and I just always want to be on the side of right. So I appreciate you listening in. This has been the Blessings of Liberty Radio broadcast, brought to you by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, up 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road off of 105. Thank you for listening in. Come and visit with us. We'd love to have you.
What's the website one more time, Wynn, where you can hear Blessings of Liberty?
The website is It's MountLebanonBC.org, but it's MTLEBANONBC.org. And we'd love for you to come there and listen to some of the messages, the prayer for traitors. Every Christian ought to listen to that message. And also Sunday nights, Brother Tommy Worth, that was a great message, facing the giants. And there's a lot of giants people are facing in this day and time. I believe you'll get a blessing out of it if you'll do that.
This is WATA Boone.